Well, good morning to everyone. I was able to see Mr. Roy Demers. Some of you remember Mr. Demers from when he was our pastor many moons ago. I don't remember how many. He was in the 70s, I guess it was. Anyhow, he is having some health trouble. He came up to see his son in Maryland, Chad. You all know Chad and his wife. And he somehow or another, I guess he's been getting run down, but he has pneumonia again. And he took some medicine. He seemed to be getting better. So I'm sure he would want your prayers for him with his pneumonia. Because remember, that's why he went to Florida. He couldn't take the cold weather up here. Hope you all had a very enjoyable week. I certainly did. I was surprised to see the frost the two mornings in a row. And while we were off in Texas down to see my daughter a few weeks ago, Tim and the rest of the young people there at my house, there's so many of them, I can't remember all their names at the moment. I guess because I'm standing up in front of all of these. Trina and Heidi, they planted green beans and they had popped, you know, the first two leaves. So we covered them up so they wouldn't freeze, those tender little plants. I didn't think it would give frost. Usually after the 1st of May, usually doesn't give frost around here. But it did, and we were able to save them, which was great. Today I thought about different things. I had a different subject I was going to speak on, but I discovered that there was too much material to give in a sermonette. So I decided to do this one. Let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 1. My son was reading and he says, "Dad, why don't you give it on this one?" And I read it and said, that's a very good, seems to fit in with what's going on in the church and with each of us. We all have our shortcomings and thought it would fit real good. So Proverbs 22 and verse 1. It says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favors rather than silver and gold." What I would like to talk about today is a good name. What is a good name? And how do we keep our good name if we have one? We certainly don't want to lose it. And if we have lost our good name, how can we work on getting it back? So I'd like to show you how important is your good name. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7, and verse 1, it talks about a good name here as well. It says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, if you all turn there, Solomon wrote this, I believe. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, it says, "A good name is better than precious ointment." So it's worth more than precious ointment. Remember the precious ointment that the lady poured on Jesus' feet and they were all upset because it was worth so much money? Well, a good name is better than that. And then if you read the rest of the verse, it says, than the day of one's birth. So what you develop in your life, the character that God develops within you. But what I want to look at there is a good name is better than precious ointment. It's worth a lot. So much you can't grasp how much it's worth. And sometimes I think we all, including myself, I was thinking of myself when I thought of this, we all take our good name for granted. We do things, we say things, and we don't think about what we say, how it affects others. And so we can lose our good name. In business, you can't lose your good name, or you can't. People won't return. They won't pass your name on to others for work, and they won't speak highly of you. And one person, I remember this incident years ago. We did a job for a lady that was a widow. She had very little money, but her roof was in bad shape. We were low on work, so we gave her a price, and she seemed to be very happy with the price. But when we did the work, we discovered that you could never please her. It didn't matter how you did it, even though you did a good job, and everything was up to the standards that were supposed to be done. At the end, she was upset about something, always something. Because in the bottom of her mind, she wanted to get the price reduced. She didn't want to pay the price that we came up with. So then she talked about all of her neighbors, how bad we were. She even came back to the place where I had the supplier and she said, "Why? This person is a terrible person. They did this roof and it's just terrible." And the gentleman that I worked for got the supplies from. He said, "What did you do to that lady?" I said, "I didn't do anything to the lady. I just did them what fits possessed the." It says on the package, you have to put the nails, they have to come through the roof, or the shingles aren't warranted. That's what it states. And she thought that was terrible. But they were through the roof before. But anyhow, What one word one lady said tarnished our name. It took time. One person can make tarnish your name, and 1,000 people could say good things about you, but one person stands out. Everybody hears about the one person who tarnishes your name. So, a good name is very important. How important is it? Let's look at now, go to John 13. Let's go to John 13. We all remember this from the time of when we were at Passover. They read this scripture to us. A very important scripture. Christ gave us something, and we are to apply this in our lives. Sometimes we do a good job, sometimes we don't. John 13, in verse 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another." So we are to love one another. We're supposed to show concern and compassion and all the other things that go along with showing love towards our brothers and sisters. In verse 35, "By this all will know," so everyone around you is going to know, "that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." So if we don't do that, people are going to look at us, no matter who, if in the church, without the church, they will know. They won't be able to see that we have love for one another, then they won't recognize that we are supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Christ gave us this new commandment, that you love one another, and we are to follow his example. To have a good name, we must apply it and live this. Love is implying the golden rule, is it not? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So that is a lot of thought and a lot of different things that you can come up with by thinking about having this commandment of love one another. Let's go to James 3. I think sometimes that I, and perhaps you do too, James 3 talks about, we'll look here in James 3 and verse 1, talks about the tongue. And we all have trouble with our tongues, I'm included in this. But let's read what it says in James 3 and verse 1. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect person, perfect man or perfect woman. He's able to bridle the whole body." So out of this little tongue, we destroy a lot of things. We don't control ourselves, our speech. "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole bodies by just that bit in their mouth." I get to see that a lot in my neighborhood with all the horses around in the fields at this time of the year. "Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." And you've all seen ships and how small the rudder is compared to those super tankers. It's not that large. But it turns that whole thing through the ocean to get to the place safely through those channels without spilling their oil. Verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a fierce little fire kindles." Now notice the next verse. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell." Verse 7. "For every kind of beast and bird of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind." If you think about that, you see them tame lions, you think, well, they're really not tame, but they get them to do certain things. And sometimes they do turn on their masters. But mankind has tamed many things that seem very ferocious. But they've been able to tame them. But it says, "No man," in verse 8, "can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison," like a poisonous snake. Verse 9, listen to what he says here. "With it," with our tongues, "we get on our knees." It doesn't say we get on our knees, but if you think about it, we get on our knees. "With it we bless our God and Father." We give him honor. We give him praise with our tongue. And in the next verse, in the same verse, it says, "And with it, we curse men." So how can we curse men and press our Father? Because the following of the verse says, "Who has been made in this in the similitude of God, which is in the image of God, we curse our fellow man. How can we do that? I do that sometimes. Perhaps you do that too. We say things that we shouldn't. Then in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, James said, these things ought not to be. Ought not to be so. We must control our tongues to have a good name. We must be willing to apologize when we do stupid things with our tongues. We all do stupid things with our tongues. I've done foolish things, said foolish things with my tongue, and I have to apologize. I'm sure you perhaps have done that too, or perhaps you're... No, I'm sure you've all made mistakes with your tongues. If no one has not made mistakes with their tongues, please tell me how you do it, because I have many times. We must be willing to apologize when our tongues get out of control. We hurt our good name by wrong words we speak. By our example, people see who, or if we have a good name. People see by what we say if we have a good name. They associate with it. If we say nasty things to people, they don't think too highly of us. They think poorly of us. And it also gives us a good name. It's by our name. It's how we live and how we speak gives us a good name too. And how we act. All three of them, living, speaking, and acting, all goes into our good name. Now let's go to James 3, verse 17. We'll start back in verse 13 so we get the context. Who is wise and understanding among you? He asks the question. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So it's the meekness of wisdom. It's the frame of mind. Humbleness. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envies and selfish, self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. So you can't have bitter envies and you can't be self-seeking in our own hearts. He's telling us that. It does not boast and lie against the truth, because that's what happens. We lie against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom, he tells us, does not descend from above. It doesn't come from God when we act like that. But it's earthly, sensual, or demonic. He even says it's from the demons, Satan himself. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there. So where those exist, it causes confusion, and evil things are there. Everything is wrong with that. All because we have envy and we're self-seeking. Now, verse 17, he tells us what we should do. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And if you're pure, then it's what we speak. It's how we speak. Is it pure? Is it what God wants? Is it what God's ideas are? Or is it man's ideas? If it is, it isn't pure. Then it says, then we're peaceable. We're not making conflicts with each other. We're making peaceable. We're peaceable. It says we're gentle. We're not trying to harm our father, brothers and sisters. We're trying to be gentle and help them as much as we can. Notice the next one. It says, willing to yield. Okay, so we don't have the same opinions. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Am I willing to yield to your ideas? Are you willing to yield to my ideas? I think that's what God is trying to say. We have to yield. Are we full of mercy? That helps with our good name. And it says, good fruits. Do we produce good fruits? Are we producing good fruits? Without partiality. I often thought of this when I was in the church, way back when I was a young person coming to the church. It made an impression on me. I came to church, and a family would come in and they'd be dressed up fancy. They must have had lots of fun. Great. I'm glad they did. God blessed them greatly. Everyone would flock to them. A gentleman came into church one week. He didn't even have a suit on. If I remember right, he had bib overalls on or something of that nature. Perhaps blue jeans. Of course, he wasn't dressed like everybody else. Nobody flocked to him. Very few went to see him. To me, I was thinking, that's partiality. He was just as good. God opened his mind. He came to the truth. He wanted to understand it. What did it matter what clothes he had on? It didn't. I know we should dress up for the Sabbath. I'm not saying we should dress down. But we shouldn't show partiality. And then it says, without hypocrisy. And of course, I gave this split sermon about hypocrisy about the Pharisees. And I'm sure most of you heard that. You can't be hypocritical. Whatever you are, you are. You can't do one thing and then say one thing and do something different. That's hypocrisy. So that helps us to have a good name. Each one of them is a study on itself of how to have a good name. If you want to have an enjoyable study, study each one of them. And the more you study them, I found that some of them that I have studied, the more I discover I need a lot more of God's Holy Spirit to help me to do them. And then verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace and by those who make peace. So peace is a big factor in your name. What your name is. James tells us how to have a good name. He's telling us there in verse 17 and 18. And he told us what not to do, if you don't want a good name, then do verse 13, 14, and 15, or 14 and 15. Don't do those things. Those don't give you a good name. The last ones tell you how to have a good name. He tells us how to have a good name and how to improve if we have trouble and what to improve on. We can study them. Verse 17 gives us a guideline. It tells the order, in order to fulfill things, we must do certain things. And these things produce a good name. Let's go back to Proverbs 22. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So let's choose, each of us, including myself, to have a good name. Because it's way more important when we stand before God on His throne and He asks us, why did you do this? Won't it be better to say, He'll say to you, I'm glad you have a good name and you didn't do that. But if you didn't, He's going to stand up there in front of you and say, why did you say this? And we'll have to give account for it, whatever it was. So let's all choose to have a good name.